Roto-Grinders presents the Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Bringing you up to the minute industry news.
Time for me to tell you about the biggest tournament in the history of daily fantasy sports.
Interviews from the biggest names in the industry.
The one and only Kondia. Head Chopper joins us now to talk about this weekend in daily fantasy football. Now on the podcast, Napster Man.
And game analysis to save you time and help you build your bankroll.
Both the salary and the matchup are just too good. If you are not playing him in your head-to-head game, you are just going to lose.
Here is your host, the one and only, Dan Bock.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome, Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast here for this Friday. And should be a tremendous show for you today. We always thank you for checking us out. All brought to you by FanDuel.com. And Fridays are always huge in the industry, and we're going to be bringing you interviews. We're going to be bringing you analysis. And that's kind of it, but it should be a fun show because surprise guests, not too often, not every day do we get the godfather of daily fantasy sports, Nigel Eccles of FanDuel, to jump on with us. So he's going to come on and talk about some of the numbers which they are now going to make public. They're going to kind of show off exactly the growth that they're seeing in daily fantasy and on FanDuel, and make it absolutely, you know, available to you. And we'll talk to him about why he's doing that and thoughts on the industry, the growth side of it. And I think it's an interesting conversation with somebody who has done an amazing job leading the team over there at FanDuel to the success that they've had. And the numbers are absolutely staggering. I hope you definitely check those out yourself. Also today on the podcast, we'll bring on the Dude 404. He won the FanDuel Super Monster the other night, a $100,000 first place prize. We'll get his perspective on sweating that much money on one single night. Not a surprise that booze came into play. But he'll come on the show with us. Obviously, tonight in the industry, we've got two $100,000 tournaments for you lined up. We've got the $100,000 Monster on FanDuel, the $100,000 Perfect Game on DraftKings, also a DFBC qualifier, $25 variety, the $27 Atlantis Championship down there for DraftKings. They had their five tournaments this week, and then those five winners are going to play it off, I believe, on Saturday for that Atlantis package. So this is the last day of that, and it's the most affordable buy-in for you at $27. So you can turn that $27 into a shot at a million on DraftKings. In Draft Street tonight, $22 Q. And on Star Street, a new streak to the mansion starts tonight. If you haven't gotten in that game yet, it's a fun sweat, survivor style. And basically $109, I believe, is the buy-in on that tournament. And it's just like some of the survivors we've seen in the industry, except they cut the field down halfway each day. And then the winner, last man standing, gets that trip to the Playboy Mansion to compete for $75,000 first place prize and be a part of one of the best parties of the year for sure at the Playboy Mansion. So that's what's going on there. Also on FanDuel, survivors continue tonight, both the 200K and the 100K. So if you are alive in those tournaments, don't forget to set your lineups. Right now, there's always seems to be just one person who forgets to set their lineups and uses the dummy lineup. So the free, you know, I guess the free rides is kind of over in those survivor games, but getting certainly a really fun tournament over there on FanDuel to try out tonight. So that's kind of what's happening with the industry. Let's jump right into our first interview of the day. Again, you're going to notice over on FanDuel announcement coming today, they're going to kind of publicize their numbers, and the growth is absolutely staggering. And let's bring in the CEO of FanDuel, Nigel Eccles, here on the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix. Okay, we got a special guest for you here on this Friday's podcast. We're bringing in the man who we all love to call the godfather of daily fantasy, but he's the CEO over there on FanDuel, and he is Nigel Eccles, and he joins us today here on the show. Nigel, welcome to the podcast. Great to have you back, and had some exciting news, you know, drop this Friday morning with you guys over at FanDuel, and a real surprising thing from my perspective is you guys are starting to kind of publish some of your market numbers. Like, tell us a little bit exactly what you're doing and why you're doing that.
Yeah, thanks. And thanks, Dan, for having me on the show. It's great to be back on. Yeah, so, you know, this is something we've been doing, you know, we've been generally pretty open with our numbers historically. And I think at the start of this year, we published some of our numbers. And I think we more recently, we sort of said, like, we probably should just get more systematic about it. We've got a lot of partners like Rotogrinders who are investing a lot of money in this industry. We also have, you'll see that here, like over 200,000 users that are trusting us. And so we have, for example, we've got about $9 million of user money on deposit. And so we sort of, what we wanted to do is to just to kind of, you know, with our partners and with our customers, be really open and transparent about our business and that they can kind of trust us. And also, this is a business they should be investing in. And so that really is kind of the thought process. It started, you know, really probably started last year. And so this is kind of the next step, is just to be more open about what we're doing and how the business is going.
And by looking at these numbers, it's, you know, absolutely incredible. Just the difference from 1 year to next. You know, just quarter one last year, you were looking at, you know, $19 million in entry fees all the way up to, you know, $62 million in quarter one of 2014. I mean, what's the biggest reason for this? I mean, we all play the game. I mean, I've been plugged into it for 4 or 5 years. I know why I love to play it. But how come, you know, this rise is just really just taking off here in the last 12 months? Why do you think we're seeing it?
Yeah, so, you know, I just think this is a better product. I think this is a market that is ripe for this innovation. You know, particularly if you look at basketball and hockey, there's so much of a market out there that love those sports that may play fantasy football but just will not sign up for a season-long league. But they love the idea of playing it just for just one night. And that's what we find when we talk to customers is like, they just like, you kind of explain the concept and they're like, wow, I didn't even know you could do that. And then that's really all you have to do. So I just think it's kind of a concept that is kind of ideas come. And it's a concept that sells it more than anything.
Yeah. And, you know, we talk about the differences in you know, payouts, but also the active users on the site is it's absolutely amazing now to be, you know, over, you know, what, 110,000, you know, active users on the site.
Yeah.
And
So last year we had about, I think total for the year was about 230,000 active paying users. Now, we've got a lot of free users on top, but we tend to focus on the paying users. That's a user who's played at least one pay entry game. And so it's getting big numbers. Interesting, if you break it by sport. So for basketball last season, we had 105,000. For hockey, we had 40,000. And if you look at the rate of growth, and if you look at the Fantasy Sports Trade Association numbers, what we think we'll see within 2 to 3 years, one day fantasy basketball and one day fantasy hockey is going to be bigger than the traditional market.
And I'll go one step further. I'll say in 5 years, I think daily fantasy baseball might even be better.
Yes.
Or be more popular than season long. Just, I mean, it's just the way society is going. You know, people have so much to do, and to be able to commit to 6 months worth of something, you know, especially when you try to look at the payoff at the end of it. Yeah, you know, there's a grind. There's there's something to be said for going that whole period of time, but. It's just the whole attitude of today's society, and you know that's what fits daily fantasy sports for us. And
absolutely, and you know the other thing that we're seeing is a demographic shift here. So, average fantasy sports player today is about in their mid-40s. An average daily fantasy sports player is in their late 20s. So they're about 15 years younger. It's bringing in a younger demographic, which particularly for baseball. Is really important. So we just think this is like, you know, this is great for those sports.
Now, I'm looking at the numbers here on the right. You've got them bolded. And you can find this FanDuel.com/investors. 18 million equity, 65% market share, and $4 billion industry.
Mm-hmm.
So are you, based on what you're saying, you guys view daily fantasy as a $4 billion industry?
So, well, that's traditional fantasy.
Oh, traditional.
That's from the Fantasy Sports Trade Association.
Okay.
And you can see their research on FSTA.org. So daily fantasy is still a small percentage of that industry, but that's changing.
What do you think that number is? Do you have an idea of what it could be?
So, you know, I think if you take our numbers here and you know, if you take our 65% market share, I think, you know, we're projecting to do about 40 million in revenue this year. So I think the market this year is going to be about 60 million in revenue, but about 600 million in entry fees.
Amazing. Now, your guys' 65% market share is really impressive. I mean, in any sort of field, to have that much of a share of a market is incredible. I mean, how have you been able to do it? I mean, we've been seeing so many sites come and go. I mean, even from when you guys started, you look at back at the competition that was around when you guys started, none of those guys are really around anymore. You know,
yeah,
DraftKings was kind of the next one that came up, and obviously they're still, you know, successful. But for the most part, we've seen a lot of people come and go. FanDuel has stayed. Why?
Yeah. I'd like to say we've got a really good team that are focused on, you know, building a great product that scales and, you know, has really good marketing against it. Like, we've got, you know, we have great competitors. This is a very, very competitive industry. And so I think we've definitely benefited by being early. What I find in these types of markets I've been in before, which is, you know, you need to be early. You need to get to scale first. So I think that has been a key benefit for us. But, you know, we've definitely been challenged in the last couple of years. And I think without the competition, this market would probably be, you know, a quarter of the size it is today. So, you know, we've managed to hold on to a pretty big market share. But, you know, that's not a given at all. And our team knows that.
Yeah. I think a lot of it, too, has to do, I mean, you guys have really poured a lot of resources back into your company, where I think a lot of people early on weren't willing to do that. And, you know, you look at some of the marketing decisions you've made. I mean, you guys have always been very active, and I think you've chosen right spots in terms of where you try to go and acquire customers. I think that's really important as well.
Yeah, like, we've always, I think one of the other things we've always tried to focus on is profitable growth. You know, we've never taken kind of glitzy partnerships. We've seen partnerships in the past where they just weren't economic, and we've just said, you know, this partnership would look great, but, you know, if it's not delivering an economic return, then we're just not going to do it. And so our marketing team's always been very, very disciplined on that, and I think that also has been a big impact as well on the resulting numbers.
Well, if you're interested in more of these numbers, they're great to read. I mean, if somebody, you know, a lot of people like myself love the business side of Daily Fantasy. I mean, when you've kind of been around from the beginning to kind of see where we are now, and then you look at the numbers that correspond to it, it really puts a smile on your face to kind of see all that hard work pay off. You can go, again, FanDuel.com/investors. And Nigel, always appreciate you coming on the podcast, talking Daily Fantasy with you, and hope to do it down the road. And congrats, as always, on the success.
No problem. Thank you. And thanks again for having me on the show.
All right, let's go to start with starting pitching today on this Friday. It's always important to hit on your pitchers. Also, no Survivor games continue on FanDuel tonight. And it'll be interesting to see which way people decide to go at starting pitcher tonight. You got Yu Darvish, who is good for sure against Cleveland, but you're talking about the highest salary I've seen at a starting pitcher this year on FanDuel, 11-4. That makes you think. That's going to make it hard, I think, to pull the trigger on him today, and I don't think I can do it. Obviously, there's plenty of good plays to be had out there, and I just don't see the reason to kind of push it at 11-4 on a full slate day with Yu Darvish. So I'm not going to go there. He's expensive everywhere. 12-5 DraftKings, 25K on DraftStreet, 21-2 on Draft Day, 33 on StarStreet. So you're going to have to pay up if you want Darvish. Cleveland, not a bad situation for him, but not the worst hitting team out there. Cueto, he is at 9,900 against Philadelphia. That total in that game is 6.5, and he's back at home where he pitches a lot better. And I think he's definitely in play and going to be a fairly popular choice today on FanDuel. But a few other names that I like maybe a tad bit better today. I think Cole Hamels against Cincinnati is in a good spot as well. Now, the problem you run into is that, yes, he's going against Cueto. Is he going to get the win? That's a tough one. Good chance he's probably not. But I will say this. On a site like DraftKings, he's at 8,900. That's a good bit cheaper than what you're seeing over there on Johnny Cueto. So I think he's very much in play over there on DraftKings. On FanDuel, where the win is very, very important, I'm going to have a tougher time pulling the trigger. But with that low total, I think he should be okay. But, and he's, you know, 1,500 less than Cueto, which is a good amount. So Hamels, tough decision whether or not you want to roll on a guy who is, you know, not necessarily likely to pick up that win in that situation. Okay, a few other guys for us to take a look at today. How about Tyson Ross tonight going against Washington? On FanDuel, he's only 6,500. This is a game with a very low total, and I think there's a good chance that Tyson Ross could throw a gem. He's usually good at home, and he's, you know, it's always dangerous not to take the big name guy in, say, a Survivor 50-50 game, but I think that the risk is somewhat minimal, especially Washington. First game for them on this road trip. I believe they've been back home the last few weeks, so they got to go all the way across the country, play in a small ballpark. And he and both Tanner Roark is at a similar price point at 6,400. I think both those guys are in play, definitely on multi-pitcher sites. But Ross, I mean, just to give you an idea here, you know, he's 74% of the top on DraftStreet at 19.2. He's 57% of the top on FanDuel. He's also 73% on DraftKings. So he's showing a tremendous value on FanDuel tonight for sure. And I think he'll probably be the top cheap option that you see. Tom Malone's been red hot lately, but I cannot justify that going against Baltimore, so I'm going to say stay away from that. Same with Ryu going in Colorado. Teheran is an interesting guy to consider tonight. 8,900 going against an Arizona team, which, of course, just absolutely killed the baseball, but that was in Coors Field. But you know what? The ballpark in Arizona does yield a lot of runs, so I think Teheran does, you know, present a good bit of risk. Dallas Keuchel against Minnesota. I think people could overlook him today. Now, his price is starting to rise a little bit. 7,700 FanDuel, almost 21,000 on DraftStreet, and just a shade under 10K. So the price is high, and he didn't do particularly great in his last start, but before that, the guy was just lights out, and now he gets Minnesota, who is not a great team offensively. So I'm not hating on Dallas Keuchel tonight. I think he's kind of a sneaky play. Phil Hughes in that same matchup against Houston, he's 6,600 on FanDuel. Really expensive everywhere else. 10-1 on DraftKings. You serious? No thanks. But the thing about Hughes is he's had like 8 consecutive quality starts, and he's going against this Houston team that still is worst against right-handed pitching in both strikeouts and batting average, I believe. So Hughes should be able to, you know, have a pretty good day here, but Houston's bats over the last few weeks definitely waking up a good bit, and Springer is, you know, obviously turning into a superstar, it appears, in the league. So I think he's a tournament play only for me, at least on FanDuel. But that price tag, 6,600, I just think there's like less risk in rolling a Tyson Ross out there against Washington at, you know, even 100 cheaper. But not the worst play out there. But, you know, that's kind of all you're really looking at tonight that's, you know, standing out to me as, you know, quality options today. At FanDuel, you know, some of the cheap guys out there. Matt Cain, I don't know if Matt Cain, let's see what he is on FanDuel, because he is back. He is 7,300, and he's somewhat intriguing. I definitely need to do a little research and see if there is any sort of pitch count on him. I mean, he's coming off the disabled list, and he's going against the Mets. That's a top flight situation to be in. Now, the Mets definitely hit the Cubs pretty well the last few games, but San Francisco is definitely a pitcher's park. You're talking about a pretty moderate salary at 7,300, so you might want to consider Mr. Matt Cain in that matchup as well today. But nobody else for me. Trevor Bauer, I'm not going to go that route. He might be cheap for some people, but going against Darvish, the win is not going to be likely. Tanner Roark, like I said, I think he's really looking solid on DraftKings at 7,600. Tough to get away from that in a game with a 6.5 total. And then Ruby De La Rosa, if it wasn't against Detroit, I could do it. But against Detroit, not going to do it. Chris Young on the road in Tampa. Maybe today's the day he gets bombed, because he's just been pitching way above his head. So no Chris Young for me. All righty, let's continue our talk and look at the starting pitcher splits. We'd like to go to the weighted OBA. These numbers are usually over the last 2 years here. And against right-handed bats, Trevor Bauer's had some trouble. Basically, the biggest problem is giving up the long ball, and the WOB is at 358 against right-handers. The average is only 273. The sample size kind of small at 99 plate appearances, but just know that a guy like Adrian Beltre could easily keep it going there against Trevor Bauer. Ruby De La Rosa, again, small plate appearances, so I'm not really going to put too much into that, but Brandon McCarthy, 432 is the plate appearances, and 346 is the weighted OBA, and the batting average against is at 291. So if you wanted to consider some of the right-handed bats there for Atlanta, you've got the Upton brothers, Evan Gattis maybe in another decent spot, and the home run rate a titch higher than average, I think 3.2% against right-handed bats. Anthony Rienzo, he's going against Jared Weaver tonight. We didn't talk about Weaver, but he's not a bad play at starting pitcher. But Rienzo is just not that great of a pitcher against righties. 346, the WOBA for him. Now let's go to pitchers against lefties. And the sample size is small, but Marcus Stroman has gotten hit up pretty well by left-handed bats. He goes against St. Louis tonight, and I'd be curious to know what the minor league numbers are, because, I mean, the plate appearances are so little, I shouldn't even be talking about it right now based on the stats we have. His last start, he was good, but he got rocked this year in the bullpen, so I think that St. Louis is in a pretty good position here today to, you know, put some runs up on the board in Toronto, very hitter-friendly ballpark. Jeremy Guthrie against lefties, we know this one. You know, home run percentage is very high at 4.5%. And, I mean, you're talking 32 home runs to lefties in the last 711 plate appearances, a 313 batting average against. So if you're not looking to the lefty bats in New York, you're not trying today. Eric Bedard, he is a lefty, but struggled a little bit against left-handers as well. Batting average over 300, weighted OBA at 368. The home run percentage is low, only 1.4%. But guys like, you know, Robinson Cano, it's funny, I was talking to somebody the other day, and I'm saying, like, Robinson Cano this year has been, like, the worst, best player in daily fantasy I've ever seen. And what I mean by that is he's arguably still like the second, one of the best second basemen out there. He's, I believe, leading the league in hitting for Seattle. But from a fantasy perspective, he stinks because all he does is get singles and doubles, and then more times than not, he doesn't get driven in and doesn't drive anybody in himself. It's just like gets you his couple of hits points. So hopefully he can get some power going against Eric Bedard tonight. It's not a terrible matchup for him. I'd consider him if the price is right. Let's see. Bauer, again, against lefties. Sample size pretty small, 348. The weighted OBA against Rienzo as well. This is something that does kind of stand out for me. Another home run rate. This one over four. So when it gets over four, that's really kind of signals an alarm to look at, you know, big left-handed bats in that lineup, because he's at 4.3%. Guthrie's at 4.5%. So lefties today for the Angels, people you got to look at. Obviously, Josh Hamilton, probably the most prolific power bat that they have. Cole Calhoun, another guy. So not hating on the Angels today going against Rienzo. Lance Lynn as well, 337, the weighted OBA for lefties against him. So just a couple of numbers to throw out there for you in the pitchers' splits. Now we go to the hitters, and some guys you want to target in terms of the splits for sure today. I mean, Troy Tulowitzki, you look at him, he's got a 571 weighted OBA against left-handed pitching so far this season. So that is absolutely insane. He and Nelson Cruz, a 560 WOBA. Adam Jones, a 537. So they have all just absolutely mashed the left-handed pitching. Josh Donaldson, 464, and he gets Wei Yin Chen tonight. A few other guys as well to take a look at. Michael Kadire again against lefties, 529, the weighted OBA. So those guys have definitely had a lot of success versus righties today. You got Adam Lynn going against Lance Lynn. He and Francisco, look at these numbers. OPS is both over 1.1 and WOBA's at 488 and 470 versus left-handers here this season. Versus right-handers. Puig has just killed right-handed pitching, 461 on the season, and OPS over 1 as well. And if you want kind of sleeper, this one kind of surprised me, J.D. Martinez versus righties with a 451 WOBA. He goes against Jorge De La Rosa, so if he would manage his way into the lineup today, he could be a sneaky cheap option there. LaRoche, he is going against Tyson Ross in that tough ballpark, but he's mashed righties, 435, the weighted OBA, 343, the batting average for him this season against right-handed pitching. Adrian Gonzalez as well. He gets Eddie Butler, the rookie. Guy is not pitched above double A. Adrian is really struggling at the plate, but no better place to get going than Coors Field. 305 his number versus right-handed pitching. The WOBA at 413. Okay, BVP for today. What stands out for us? Well, you've got Marlon Byrd, 7 hits and 12 at-bats against Johnny Cueto. I don't think it's going to sway me too much there. David Wright against Matt Cain, 11 for 25, 6 doubles as well. So a nice 1.18 OPS. Probably won't go there just simply because of the ballpark factor. I don't think there's a reason to pay up for David Wright in that situation. I do like Posey tonight, 4 for 12, 2 doubles and a homer at home against John Neese. I think that's a good spot. We talked about lefties going against Jeremy Guthrie. Well, Ellsbury definitely fits that profile, and he's got 20 hits and 46 at-bats. So 435 clip against Guthrie for his career. 7 of those have gone for extra bases. And let's face it, if he gets on, stealing against Guthrie is not too hard to do. So I love Ellsbury tonight in the outfield. A couple of guys for Pittsburgh, Jose Tabata and Neil Walker, both have hit Kyle Loesch well. Let's see, it's Tabata at 14 for 33. It's a 424 clip. And Walker at 10 for 30 at a 333. He's also got 3 doubles, a triple, and a home run against Kyle Loesch. Brett Gardner, not bad numbers. Another lefty against Guthrie, 5 for 14. That's kind of what stands out, the top hitters for us today, BVP-wise. Now, let's go position by position. Again, let's just throw this out here. Coors Field is crazy. I tweeted it out this morning. Fantasy baseball, daily fantasy baseball, so much more fun when the Rockies are on the road, because at home, you see what happens again. It's just tons and tons of runs. The question is, can the Dodgers come in game one and make it happen? Because that's been the big trend. The first game of the series has been rather low scoring, but Eddie Butler, I did some research on this guy, and again, he hasn't pitched above double A, but he's been pretty good throughout his career in the minors. Not a huge strikeout guy this year at, I think it's in round 32 and about 60 some odd innings this season, so he's not going to K a whole lot of guys, but does keep the batting average against pretty low. And the one advantage for these young pitchers who've never faced big league hitters, they don't know what to expect. So, but it's tough to kind of throw a kid in double A against that lineup. But here's the thing. John freaking Danks looked like Sandy Koufax against these Dodger bats recently. And John Danks is not particularly good, especially on the road. So we'll see how much of a cure Coors Field is for a bad hitting team, because right now the Dodgers are a really bad hitting team, so keep that in mind. But most of the guys from both of those teams are obviously in play. At first base today, I'm not sure if Edwin Encarnacion is going to play, so be careful of that. He came up a little bit stiff the other day. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets the day off. We talked about Lynn's success. I think Lind versus Lynn, I like it. Moss against Wei Yin Chen, yeah, he is not somebody who is splits dependent anymore. I mean, he's an everyday guy. He just mashes the world, it seems. So I think Moss is clearly somebody you can take a look at tonight. A few other names to throw out there. Juan Francisco, if he's first base eligible in the site that you're playing on, could be a good option against Lynn. I mean, the total in that game is 9.5. So you've got a lot of runs expected there. Few other names, Victor Martinez going against Ruby De La Rosa, obviously Miguel Cabrera, all those guys look like pretty good options. And I think Adrian Gonzalez, like I talked about, I think this is a good spot for him to kind of get going, and he is on the cheap today. Over at second base, if you need some value, you could look to Josh Harrison. He's pretty cheap for Pittsburgh leading off. But I do like Cano against Bedard if the salary is not too bad. Kinsler versus De La Rosa. Kinsler's been struggling, but this isn't a horrendous spot for him against a guy who looked good against Tampa, but Detroit's a different animal. Scooter Gennett, everybody loves him. He's cheap, and he gets Brandon Compton, who absolutely got messed up, to say the very least. I don't think he got out of the first or second inning in his last start there for Pittsburgh. DJ LeMahieu against Ryu, obviously taking any Colorado bats, somebody to consider. And then you've got D Gordon, sometimes second base eligible on the site that you're playing on. So he's clearly in Coors Field, somebody you got to look at. Third base today, Donaldson's going to be heavily owned again going against Chen. He always is versus lefties and rights, fully so. But I think Matt Carpenter against Stroman, who's a pretty average pitcher in a nice hitter's ballpark, high total there, looks like a nice off-the-board kind of cash game play. Tough to ignore Adrian Beltre. He's hitting the crap out of the baseball, and he gets Trevor Bauer, nice hitter's ballpark as well. I think it's pretty obvious you want to avoid Lonnie Chisenhall today against Yu Darvish. That doesn't make a lot of sense. And maybe Evan Longoria. We saw him hit a home run the other night against Tom Kohler back there at the Trop. He's still pretty cheap, and Chris Young is not anybody who instills a whole lot of fear, I'm sure, in Evan Longoria at the plate. At shortstop, Troy Tulowitzki is clearly your top option. He's going to be rostered by most everybody, I'm guessing, today. Pretty tough to kind of fade that one. Obviously, Hanley Ramirez in the same hitting environment, probably going against a worse pitcher there. Definitely the youngster from AA, so don't sleep on him. I think Xander Bogaerts versus Smiley is in a great spot. I did neglect to bring up Pedroia at second base, but he's somebody, anytime he's versus a lefty you like, and especially with a pretty moderate price tag, you gotta like him. So definitely consider Xander Bogaerts today if you don't want to follow the herd on Troy Tulowitzki. Maybe Eric Ibar as well, going against Rienzo. I like that Anaheim team to score some runs today. At catcher, Evan Gattis, I mentioned, pretty good spot today, going against McCarthy, who gives it up to right-handed bats. Out there in Coors, you got a lefty in the mound that automatically puts Will and Rosario on the list of guys you have to consider today, so I will do so. Zunino against Bedard. I love Zunino always as a cash or as a tournament play because he does present a lot of power in that lineup for Seattle. And Derek Norris should be getting the start against Wei Yin Chen. His salary is pretty moderate. I think it was in the 3K range over on FanDuel. And he's still got OPS close to 980 against lefties this season. So I think you have to consider him. In the outfield, all those names we talked about, the Nelson Cruz, the Yasiel Puigs, you know, Matt Kemp's been slumping terribly, but maybe he can get it going today. But don't sleep on Jose Bautista tonight going against Lance Lynn. 11-game hit streak for him, and he's doing some tremendous work at the plate for the Toronto Blue Jays. A few other guys for us to consider, as my daughter is not happy about something. I guess Bubble Guppies, must be over or something. We've got Seth Smith actually rakes at home. His home numbers, home road numbers are pretty amazing. So he could kind of be an off-the-board play for you today. And I think that Matt Holliday, Alan Craig, I think both those guys against Stroman for the price that they are look good. And certainly not giving up on Adam Jones, who's swinging an incredibly hot bat tonight. So I think he is absolutely in play once again. Okay, those are some of the top plays of the day. Great columns all across Roto Grinders. We've got 3 hours of Grinders Live for you in a SiriusXM tonight. Me, Pepsi, talking 5 Eastern. Good luck in all your matchups. Okay, I made mention of this yesterday in the podcast that we were going to bring on the winner of the $100,000 over there on FanDuel for the Super Monster a couple nights ago, and here he is. The Dude 04, his real name is Andres, but I don't know. I just prefer calling him the Dude. That's much better. But makes his premiere on the podcast, and man, you know it's a good thing when I'm calling you because that means you probably won a ton of money, which you did. Has it sunk in? 6 figures in that FanDuel account?
When I first won it, I was pretty shocked, but now that it's been a day or so, it's mainly relief just because of the fact I do this full time. And let's just say my finances were running a little low.
So it was a good, it was good timing, to say the very least, to knock out a big win. Now, you say you do this full time, so you're a DFS guy 100%?
Yeah, I've done this full time since January 2013.
Awesome. Now, you know, how many entries did you put into this tournament? Because, you know, I know there were some guys with, I think, upwards of like 100 maxed out. Where did you come into this, and what was your kind of plan coming into it?
Yeah, I had three total entries. Two of them, actually, just the week before is when I first started to try to qualify for it. So I think I put in like, I think I played in like five qualifiers, and I got two tickets out of those. And then the third entry, which I actually won, I decided like at 5:30 or 6, I was just going to throw in another entry with my FanDuel points.
I'd say that was a pretty good move there. You know, turned some imaginary money into, you know, $100,000 of real money. So
right.
That worked out great for you. Now, when were you, I mean, did you follow this all night long? I know we saw you on Grinders Live Chat, you know, kind of late. Take us through the final sweat of that, because, you know, you have to have a lot of things kind of break your way, and it all happened. So, you know, take us through kind of that night and, you know, how it finished.
Yeah, well, I was actually paying attention to it from the beginning, and almost immediately, all three of my teams, you know, were starting to score. I'm like, well, that's a good sign. And then I think my winning entry, that got into like the top 100 almost immediately. And then maybe an hour or so later, you know, I'm pushing like 30, I was sitting around like 30th place. And then I think what finally made me realize that, you know, I can actually do this is when Cruz hit that home run. I think that propelled me to first.
And
but after that, you know, let's just say there was some drinking involved at the bar. So I was mainly, you know, I was watching it once in a while, but I was mainly, you know, talking with my friends or whatnot. So the only thing I knew was that I think, who was it? Abreu, I think. I think I had to sweat Abreu.
And Puig, I believe, Puig was the other one.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I think a little bit of Garrett Cole as well. Kind of was another situation where you needed him not to have strikeouts, and then he gave up some runs. So everything worked out well for you. Now, how did that night get the bar go? I mean, did your buddies know what was on the line here? And obviously, were they cheering you on, and or were you just kind of like keeping it to yourself? So, I mean, what's happening that night?
Pretty much most of the night, I didn't really contact anybody until I hit like 30th place, and then I'm like, because I had a couple players go late. Let's see, who did I have late? I had Gonzalez and Ramirez to go late, so you know I could still collect points and move up. Where a lot of these guys, you know, they didn't have that many innings left. So probably right around 30th place, that's when I was like, you guys got to get down to the bar.
I love it. Talking to the Dude 04, big winner on FanDuel earlier this week. Now, the cool thing on this tournament is, you know, not that you needed free entries into King of the Diamond because you just won $100,000, but they invite you to Vegas for the King of the Diamond party and basically get the VIP treatment that a lot of the other DFBC qualifiers kind of get. So you're pretty excited about that experience to, you know, kind of go and be a part of, you know, a live daily fantasy final?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. You know, I don't know if I'm going to get lucky enough to get a seat in that in the contest, but, yeah, it'll be fun hanging out. And if I, you know, if I don't get a seed in. I forgot what the name of the tournament is, but yeah, it'll be fun watching people sweat it out.
Yeah, I mean, you'll have a you'll got $1 million tournament to sweat yourself on Friday, so you know that doesn't suck. And
that's true. Yeah, I forgot that's during the Vegas
thing. Yeah, that's all part of it. So it's going to be a fun time for sure. Now, how's this going to change your play? I mean, I went through your RotoGrinders profile. You don't seem to play a ton of high stakes. So are you going to move up the ladder a little bit? Like you say, you know, this is a much-needed influx to the bankroll. So how's this going to change the way you play daily fantasy sports?
Yeah, I don't really think it's going to change too much. Just for the fact that I don't want to get back in the position I was, you know, before I won this. You know, I'm pretty comfortable with what I'm playing at. I think I throw in usually, like, you know, I play the lower stakes games, but I throw in like $500 a day or whatever.
Sure.
So I don't think I'm going to go much above that. You know, I might kick it up to $1,000 a day, but that would be the absolute max I'd go.
Now, are you mainly a cash game player, or do you play some of these tournaments, and do you think you'll maybe take a greater shot at a DFBC seat or a few other tournaments you might not have played otherwise?
Yeah, I would consider myself mainly a cash game player. Yes, you know, I try on these bigger tournaments. It's hard when you're, you know, depending on this for income to pay the bills, to throw a lot of entries into the bigger tournaments. But yeah, I'll probably throw in a few more entries. I'm not going to do anything crazy, or, you know, you won't be seeing me in like the $1,000 qualifiers or anything like that.
I love it. You're using proper bankroll management there. You know, I mean, would you say that's probably the biggest problem for people, you know, when trying to play daily fantasy sports and make a consistent amount of money is trying to stay away from those situations? Because, I mean, I've been doing it for 4 years and I still, you know, run into the fact that when a big, you know, qualifier comes up, I want to, you know, obviously load up the teams and take a shot at it, when, you know, ultimately that's might not be the smartest play, especially for a guy in your position who's, you know, grinding it out, like you say, to pay the bills. Is that sometimes a temptation that's hard for you to, you know, kind of stay away from?
I would say it's really not that great of a temptation. Just because I know that the odds of, you know, even winning a qualifier are pretty slim to none. So, but I would say overall, I mean, you know, bankroll management obviously is very important. You know, you can't like have a winning day and then be like the next day, you know, throw all that money in there, just double what you usually play, because, you know, every day is different. So, you know, I mean, I've even caught myself doing that. So I try to stay on the conservative side of things.
Now, which sports do you play? Are you every single season, or just baseball? What's the, you know, the entirety of your DFS game?
Yeah, I mean, I play baseball. I would say baseball is probably my best sport. I do play football. I do the NBA season. Occasionally do golf. To try to get into college football this year, so yeah, I pretty much do it all.
Awesome. And are you somebody who ventures across multiple sites, or do you keep it on FanDuel? What's the split for you there?
Right now I'm 100% on FanDuel. During NBA season, I found that my results were better on DraftStreet, so I kind of split up my money between DraftStreet and FanDuel, and I'll probably do that again for the NBA season. But, you know, I'm comfortable on FanDuel. I've tried other sites, but, you know, small sample size, but I just really didn't have as much luck as I do on FanDuel.
Now, what made you decide to kind of do the daily fantasy thing full time? I know there's a lot of people who have dreams of doing it, but, you know, don't make the plunge. I mean, there's, you know, really proven established players who made a lot of money who still are kind of nervous about giving up a day job and doing it full time. So why did you do it? And, you know, I mean, what advice would you give to people who, you know, might want to try and do it themselves down the road?
Well, it really wasn't by choice. I got laid off from my job, I don't know, about 2 or 3 years ago. Tried some different things. They didn't work out. I was tired of working in an office all the time. So I just decided to give this a shot. And, here I am now. But, yeah, as far as other people getting into this, you've got to come in with a substantial bankroll, which I really didn't have. Especially when you get towards the end of the month and you're sweating it, how are you going to pay your mortgage or whatever, that can be really stressful. So the best advice is, I would say at a minimum, you should probably have $40,000, $50,000 to start with.
Interesting. Very interesting advice from somebody who does do this every single day for his life, for his career. So it's pretty cool to bring him here on the show. Now, any history on the name, The Dude 04? Or 404? I'm guessing the 404 is Atlanta area code, so, or at least in the Georgia area. Now, The Dude, were you just like, Jeff Bridges in, what was that movie?
Big Lebowski.
Big Lebowski. Is that an homage to him?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's one of my favorite movies, so.
Are you a big bowler?
No. Not at all, no.
I love it. Well, Andres, thank you so much for jumping on the show with us. It's great to kind of meet new people, especially, people who have a lot of success playing these games. And I'm glad that the win came at a good time for you. So continued luck out there in the game of Daily Fantasy. And thanks for your time today.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
All right, let me tell you about my good friends over there at FanDuel. Yes, the Survivor continues today on FanDuel. Got one team left in each of the two tournaments, so I'm going to try and parlay that into my trip to Vegas. That's what I'm hoping to do. But we've got a long ways to go before we get there. But a $100,000 monster tournament as well tonight over on FanDuel, so make sure you enter that. First place in that tournament pays a cool $15,000. Pays out the top 101 in that. So it is a fine tournament, $200. Again, the buy-in there. King of the Diamond, plenty of satellites for you each and every night. Again, they have them as low as like $2 on their site. So you can turn that $2 into a ticket, and next thing you know, you're entered in that $1 million tournament come April or August. Double ups, they've got single entry double ups and multi-entry double ups. So if you want to put a couple of teams in the multi-entry, you can do it. Pretty easy to accomplish, or you just go the single entry and then you're just going against everybody else one time. So I'm not saying one is better than the other, but you've got options. That's what I love about FanDuel. Their squeeze is back, $2, $18,000 the prize pool there. The single entry $1 bunt for you low stakes guys, you can turn that dollar into, what is it, I think 500? Yeah, 350 in the $3,000 guaranteed single entry tournament. So low stakes, high stakes, it doesn't matter. Great variety. And for all you people out there, if you're a high stakes player, make sure you reserve that spot in the high roller for the World Fantasy Baseball Championship. That's happening that Thursday. We'll have to ask Lindon Diego next week how that's looking, how many people they've got committed to that. But never too early to make sure you get one of those spots out there in Vegas for that fun tournament happening that Thursday night. But that's what's happening over on FanDuel, great sponsor of this very show. So please go over there, make that deposit, FanDuel.com. All right, that's going to do it for us today. Back on Monday, have yourself a great weekend, great night in Daily Fantasy Sports. Be sure to check out Grinders Live tonight. Three great shows there. SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio tonight, me and Pepsi 7. And just tremendous content all across Roto Grinders. So hopefully you're using it. It's making you a better Daily Fantasy player, maybe even making you some money. That's what this is all about. But in the meantime, you got any feedback, Dan at RotoGrinders.com, at Dan_Bach is the Twitter handle, and hope to take down some big money myself tonight, this weekend, and we'll be back on Monday, same time, same place. Till then, everyone, have yourself a tremendous night, and we will see you.